Is anyone from Motley Crue dead?
One, I think, died for an intermittent period of time.
Oh, Nikki Sixx, right? Kickstarter.
Nikki Sixx, yeah. Like, he had a whole story where it's like he died. He, like, floated above his body and, like, saw his dead body or happy horse shit like that.
Well, I was going to say, like, so those three songs are, it's Beastie Boys, Motley Crue, and Cyndi Lauper. Captain Lou Albano's dead. He appears.
Well, he wasn't in the band Cyndi Lauper.
I know. He appears in the video. But, yeah. Nikki Sixx.
MCA is dead.
Yeah. MCA is dead. And Nikki Sixx died temporarily. So there's a lot of. There's like a few elements of death in each.
Mick Mars might be dead. Wait, hold on a second.
What am I going to do for a second? We got to show it to.
Siri, is Mick Mars alive? Let's see.
Mick Mars is still alive.
Woo!
I like how they answer he's still alive. It doesn't just say like yes or he's alive, he is still alive.
She had to clearly say Mick Mars is still alive.
That's good.
I mean, we know Tommy Lee's alive. He has so many diseases that it's just like they become one super disease and it kind of like reverts to like a positive thing.
And maybe he could shoot it like a fireball and
yeah. Like super AIDS, like super AIDS doesn't kill you. It actually keeps you alive forever.
You know, there was a super AIDS a few years ago.
No,
like it was like this new strain of AIDS that was stronger than like regular AIDS. I think they were calling it super AIDS.
It like went away.
I probably did.
I guess it wasn't super.
When was the last time anybody died of AIDS?
People die of AIDS like every day.
Do they really?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
You never hear about AIDS anymore.
Speaking of AIDS, girls.
What?
That was my segue.
Yeah, it was terrible. There's like literally no AIDS on girls.
No. But I wish Hannah would contract AIDS.
You're really that unhappy with Hannah?
I really fucking hate Hannah and these by the way, we're going to be talking about episodes 4 and 5 on this show.
Right.
It's the doing the not doing the wow. It's the two dudes watch girls super show. I almost made a boo boo there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, I really just again reinforced my hatred for Hannah. I really fucking can't stand her.
Really.
So episode 4 is called Cubbies, and it's Hannah in Iowa.
Yes.
Iowa.
Which before I forget, in the fifth episode, Jessa pops into her room and is like, "Oh, you're back from Idaho?"
Yeah, Idaho. Yeah, caught that.
You caught that, all right. But anyway, I just wanted to throw it out there. Funny.
So the fourth episode, the Cubby starts off with again, we still see Shoshana is trying to she's on job interviews, and this time I guess it's actually one that she wanted and she's not getting it. And she just asked the question, like, you know, what's wrong with me? And, you know, not so important, but I think it's just setting up her, like, the arc of her in this episode in terms of, like, I don't know, her whole thing. Let's just talk about her. We can get out of their way. The whole thing with Ray.
Oh, yes.
She is kind of, like, just typical, like, I guess, like, finding herself, I guess. And she has a nice long day with Ray, and they interact with the shopping. And Ray's having a fucking breakdown because they... You know, there's all this traffic on his block.
Well,
now.
I agree with him.
Yeah. He's literally going from car to car, like, yelling at you. Like, why the fuck are you... And I feel the same way. I'm always just like, you know, people are honking behind me when it's like I'm stuck and can't go and I have to wait for some obstruction. And people are honking away and I'm just like... I'm, like, raising my hands up, like, you know, I can't fucking drive through this, you know?
No, we've all been there. Anybody in a major metropolitan area has dealt with people just honking with... completely reckless abandon that is just like, oh, you do realize there's a traffic light, a pedestrian, like the car isn't opting to just not drive.
Yeah, especially in New York, like the impatience of fucking yeah. New Yorkers.
Unless the license plate says New Jersey, then you know you're dealing with yeah. an asshole driver.
That's why, you know, even though I moved to Jersey, I did not change my ID, my license plate. It says New York. I'm a very patient driver. I am. I rarely honk the fucking horn. Like, that's just the horn. My horn is just the, like, if someone's making a ridiculous move that might harm myself or damage my car, it's the, hey, you know, what are you doing? Watch it. you know, what the fuck?
I usually, what I do is, it's very therapeutic for me. I put my hand on the horn, but I don't actually honk it. And that feels very similar to honking the horn, and actually makes me feel better.
Yeah, I get in the defensive position.
I even say beep. I even audibly say beep in my car. I got like I'll just hit the horn and go beep, but won't actually beep the horn because I realize it doesn't do anything.
No, but it's like I said, it's not. People use it as the listen to me. I'm angry about something. I use it for hey, watch out. You know, if someone's not paying attention, if like they're about to, you know, come into my lane, it's the hey, watch what you're doing. You know, be alert that you of shit is going on here, because that's why you make the noise.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're harping on the Ray story a little bit too long.
We're harping on the Ray. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, but that's what's good about the show, not just girls, but our podcast, because stuff that happens in girls, we can turn it into conversation.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, this is really important. The business with Shoshana. She does apologize to Ray for fucking up the whole relationship,
mm-hmm.
in a way that she was immature and wasn't ready. And even though they have no chance of getting back together, it was nice that they can kind of connect and share each other's troubles and give each other advice in a way.
Are you fighting a cold right now?
Yeah, I'm stuffy.
Sorry to hear that.
I'm sick. I called out of work tonight.
And now we're talking about a TV show on the internet.
Yeah, isn't life grand? So that was that whole angle. I mean, I'm sure you can. There's not really much else to say. Marnie and Dez, the Dez
sitting in the tree.
Yeah, the F-U-C-K-I-N-G. So we see a little bit of them. You know, he's trying to talk to her, and she's just like, "No, fuck you. This is you know." She put her foot down. Our relationship is strictly the business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to do that. And meanwhile, the whole episode, she's trying to get people to listen to their new song and that whole bullshit.
I like Jessup's just like, this sucks. When's the good part? You know?
Yeah, when's the good part?
And then Shosh's like, I hate it, but I hate it in that way that I know I'm going to love it after I hear it a bunch of times because they keep playing it on the radio.
I love Jess's explanation. It's like, you know, it's just like, the song. It's just like, I guess I like it now. You know? Like, yeah. That's much like Sean would with his Taylor Swift, you know?
Sean, our co-host from Doing the Job.
Yeah, he that stupid Shake It Off song. Like, I just heard it so much where it's like, oh, I think I like this now, but I don't really.
I'm telling you, you got to listen to Style. Style's where it's at.
Yeah, I definitely hate Blank Space. Let's just be clear.
And I'll write your name. Brother.
There's a rumor going around that that's inspired by Death Note.
I don't know what Death Note is.
All right, so Death Note's this. I know we're going on a tangent here, but Death Note is this anime, right? That's about
Oh God, we're talking about anime.
Can we move on? It's like real quick though. You'll like this. It's a demon that like visits this dude, and it's just like, hey, all those motherfuckers.
And
he
takes over for him, right?
No. He gives him this book, and it's just like, if you write someone's name in this book, they'll die. You know, Death Note. So it's kind of like Blank Space, you know, I got a blank space for you and I'll write your name. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
I doubt it.
Yeah. No, probably not.
Still a rat face. So now we have this moment where, I don't know, it's a little familiar for me. You know, it definitely has happened a lot. Desi wakes up Marnie in the middle of the night. And I guess he said that he told his Clementine, his girlfriend, that he's been sleeping with Marnie.
Mm-hmm.
And Marnie, I give her the props for not immediately just eating it up. She kind of had like, she had to stop and say, so what exactly happened?
Right.
And yeah.
But the thing I was confused about is, so when he tells her that she says something like she's been talking about some other guy and I think she might have had sex with him already.
Uh-huh.
And then Marnie's just like, so it sounds like she dumped you. But it didn't sound like that to me at all. It sounds like...
No.
And even if that were the case, like, weren't they supposedly in some kind of open relationship or something?
I don't think it was open because she... I mean, at the end of last season, she came to Marnie,
right.
Remember, and was just like, I know what's going on. Don't fuck around my man and, you know, motherfuckers. And
I don't know. He made it sound like they were kind of like these, like, free spirit hippies, but, like, she was, like, the girlfriend. And... Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden, when she starts talking about, like, he's already sleeping around on her, but now he merely suspected that she was sleeping with somebody else, and he's all, like, brokenhearted about it. I thought that's what she was going to comment on, and then it went in a completely different direction, and she said, oh, it sounds like she broke up with you. And it didn't sound like that to me at all, but that's what she stuck with.
What it sounded like to me is the scenario was, so she mentioned something about some other guy, and he just said, oh, yeah, well, I'm fucking Marty. You know?
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like to me. And it was just kind of like, and whatever, and then they broke up over it. And, you know, while maybe it was just one of those things where he thought about breaking up, and when she presented that, he saw his opportunity to. And I don't know. But you see the way she was asking him, she was like, why? Like, looking for, like, why did you do it? Looking for the, oh, because I love you and I want to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what he said. He said because she was talking about some other guy.
Right.
So then she kind of had that look on her face, like, not what I was looking for. You know?
And then he goes down on her and she shuts up.
Yeah, yeah, and she shuts right up, obviously. Yeah. So it's kind of like you see the already, not foreshadowing, but just it kind of like already laid the foundation of just kind of like she's going to want it all from him and he's just going to kind of do what's beneficial to him. That's how I see it. You know what I mean?
But I mean, you know, she should be comfortable with people that fabricate stories. I mean, that's what her father does for a living.
Woo! That's a shot. That's a real life shot.
I'm just kidding. I have nothing against Brian Williams.
I think this whole thing's
BS.
He's blown out of proportion,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about that for like a microsecond?
We might as well, because it is her father, in, you know, in real life, as people might know. Allison Williams' father is Brian Williams of the NBC Nightly News, and apparently, I don't even know what he was like. I was in helicopter A, but he was really in helicopter B, and now he's like reputation is ruined or something.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I've seen some shit. Like, I've been shot at. My helicopter was shot down when, like, that wasn't the case. He was in, like, a different helicopter or something like that. I don't know. There's, like, two sides of everybody. Like, people are blowing him up, destroying him. And then there's, like, people like Paul Heyman in our world of wrestling who was just like, yeah, he's an entertainer. He said something to entertain you and, you know, viewers and whatever. And, like, he's like, you know, whatever.
He sits in front of a camera and he tells us the news. It's pretty much what happens. Right? Like, so one time he embellished a story a little bit. We've all done that.
Well, my opinion, that's all I'm going to say about this, is just, like, don't do that. I don't know. Just don't.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, if you and me are in helicopters, like, but they're next to each other, but they're different helicopters, and yours gets, like, shot at, like, I'm going to say that I was shot at.
That we got shot
at. Right. Like, it's not like, oh, like, they knew Dennis was in the first helicopter, and they only shot at him. Like, they just happened to hit you.
You know, we, the royal we, he could have just said we, you know, he could have played the pronoun game in a way, or the whatever.
And you know what? He was probably reading off a teleprompter.
Teleprompter.
Yeah. Like, you know, everybody's seen Anchorman, I think, by this point.
He's just like, I'm Brian Williams?
It's like, you idiot. You know he reads whatever on the prompter.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego. I'm going to be in San Diego real soon.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait. A whale's vagina. Oh, yeah, so whatever, you know, that was going to be a slight, stupid piece of American history that we'll all forget about in a day. So that's that angle. So we see what that's going on. There was really no Jessa business, and then we get to the Hannah situation.
Yes.
What a fucking scathing fucking cunt.
So she apparently apologizes for her pipe bomb that we talked about in the last episode.
Right, we did talk about that, I hated her for.
She apologizes via paper memo in their cubbies, which, when was the last time you had a cubby?
Fucking grade school.
Okay.
That's where I put, you know, like, my blankie nap time.
Right, so everybody starts analyzing the cubby apology, and she's like, well, this really wasn't meant for analyzing, and they all keep analyzing it anyway. And then she basically just, you know, they all have a blow off, and then her teacher speaks to her in private. And I love how they were like, you know, they acted like the cubby was sacred. Like, the cubby is sacred. And
sacred.
And the teacher's just like, I don't know if this is the right fit for you. And she's like, are you kicking me out? And she's like, no, you have to, like, murder a teacher in broad daylight to get kicked out. We just, you might want to think about what I'm saying. And then she
did express that she thought at first she was getting kicked out, and she was happy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she hops on a plane, comes back to New York. Opens her apartment door.
Whoa! Hold on a second, though.
Oh,
hold on a second. Let's get to that. But that you're missing the whole thing of why she's an asshole for this, why she's a no good piece of shit. She wasn't apologizing. You know what I mean? She was doing that thing.
Was she doing the "I'm sorry that you feel that way"?
Her apology was like basically, "I'm sorry for what I said, but you know, it's all of your fault that you're stifling my creativity and putting me in a box and blah 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 blah, so I can't write."
Which
and,
in pro wrestling,
and so it's all your fault. So fuck you.
In pro wrestling, we would call a heel promo.
It's a heel promo. Well, it's just, it's the, what do I say every week about Hannah? What have I been saying since the beginning of the show?
She's a piece of shit.
She's not a fucking writer.
Right.
You know? She's doing that, I don't want to fucking, you know, have a real job, and I'm sort of okay at writing. Like, you know, I'm kind of creative a little bit, so I could be this great writer. When you're not.
Well,
you know?
She's been, this whole season that we've seen that she's really struggling to get her act together at this college, and it's not really working out.
But in the entire show, she hasn't shown that she can fucking be creative or write anything substantial for anything.
Right.
You know, she's been presented
and
with all these opportunities to succeed.
And she left a decent paying job because it was at a magazine, but she wasn't writing for that magazine. And when she was writing for the magazine, you know, it wasn't like anything of value. It was kind of puff pieces. So
Called starting at the bottom.
So she leaves her job to write, and then it's kind of just back to where she was before, which is nowhere. Meanwhile, Adam, dreamy Adam, has landed a few acting gigs. He's in commercials now. He's living the dream.
Yeah. So she's just doing that whole, like, same old shit between people I know in my life, or anyone that you may know who does that. They're always the victim. And them not succeeding, or them not doing anything, when meanwhile they're not putting in the work, they don't have the patience or the talent or any of the fucking things they need to get what's done right for them, it's everybody else's fault. So as we've seen from the very beginning, for her bouncing around from the job to the book deal to, you know, her losing her mind and becoming OCD because she just couldn't fucking write because she's not a writer, it's everyone else's fault. And then what does she do in the end? Just, I'm just going to leave. Fuck it. You know, again, just fucking leave. So just Hannah is a fucking useless human being in my eyes. And then, like you said, she gets home, she opens the door.
And who's there? Adam. And Adam's girlfriend, Mimi Rose.
Mimi Rose.
I love how they keep calling her Mimi Rose, too. Like, just not Mimi.
He's like, Mimi Rose.
Mimi Rose.
Mimi Rose, you there? Mimi Rose. So, yes, that's how the fourth episode ends, and it's just, you know, not the best way to go about it, but good for Adam. You know, fuck Hannah. Fuck that shit. You know, he's going nowhere with that.
Well, you know what? We had that... they alluded to her a few episodes ago, when Jesse asked him how are things going with that girl,
huh?
And he just was kind of like, yeah, all right.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we find out in the fifth episode, Jesse set them up.
Yes. So now let's set them up. Let's jump right into episode 5.
So all right, episode 5. Now if all her life decisions and inability to produce and laziness and playing the victim and all the fucking psychotic, asshole-ish qualities that Hannah has wasn't enough, when she gets here, upset, obviously, but, you know, I feel like any other normal person would be like, well, fuck you, I'm out of here. She just locks herself in the house with the two of them. But you can look at that both ways. It was her apartment,
right? I somewhat agree with what it's. You can agree with both of them in this situation, I guess, is the best way to say it. Like they're both kind of right. They're both kind of wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
once again, we're in one of those situations,
right? Like she did opt to just bail on him to begin with, and kind of left him. Okay, I guess I'm on my own. At the same time, he probably could have said something to her, and like, or could have like, kind of handled it a little bit more up front rather than, you know, having her have to find out the hard way. Like there's a lot there, and like now she's reacting to it, and she has every right to react to it in an emotional way because she's emotional. But yeah, she walks into what used to be her bedroom, locks the door, puts a blanket over her head, and just lays there trying to make sense of all this. And we find out a lot about Miss Mimi Rose. Her Mimi Rose Howard, right?
Mimi Rose Howard is her name.
And there's some point in the episode where he says something. He like repeats her name, and she says, "That's a girl's name and a guy's name with a flower in the middle."
Well, you know what? Everything you said is true, and now in the Adam defense, she was supposed to be gone for 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. So she's not paying rent in the fucking place. So it's his place, essentially, right?
Right.
He didn't just totally stab her in the back because he put all her stuff in a storage place. It's safe, you know?
No, he did rational and somewhat considerate things, but he also didn't do the important, you know, human...
Didn't tell her.
Yeah.
Right away.
Yeah.
And he said, if I knew you were coming home, I would have given you the heads up. It's kind of like, you know, he found himself in that situation. You know, he said he didn't plan it. It just happened. It is what it is. I'm seeing this out. But he probably was thinking, you know, I have time. I can muster up the courage to talk to her about it. You know, I have time before she comes back here. And then it was just, she just showed up. So obviously, kaboom.
Right. But I'm also, they never really made it clear, like, what was the plan? Like, was she going to come back during the summer and off semesters? Like, what was that whole?
Yeah. I don't know.
But anyway, so she stays in the room. She won't come out. And we find out that either Adam or Hannah or both of them are calling in the cavalry, all their friends, like everybody they know pretty much. And so first Shoshana shows up, kind of just blows right past Adam, goes into the bedroom. They look up more about Miss Mimi Rose, and we find Mimi or Minnie? Mimi, right?
Mimi.
Yeah. Find out that, like, she speaks at colleges, and she really has her stuff together, and whatever
she has all these PhDs and MBAs and
MFAs,
VH1s.
Yeah. And she's got all the, yeah, she's pretty, VH1s. So she's got her act together, and she's really on her way professionally. She's almost like Hannah, but like a better version of Hannah in a lot of ways. Not like...
In every way.
Like, not exactly in the same career path, but like... Whatever she was motivated to do, she's pretty much where she wanted to be at, you know, some earlier point in her life, whereas Hannah's not even sure where she wants to be.
Yeah, I think that was, like, the underlying theme of this episode, and especially driven home with the fact that Anna was so obsessed with still wanting to watch her video, which is told her, oh, forget about it. No, I gotta watch it. And then even when Marnie eventually shows up, she pretends to go in the shower.
We'll get to that.
I'm just looking at it as a whole.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like she's realizing, maybe subconsciously, who knows, that, you know, this woman, she has the talent of, you know, in whatever field she's doing. You know, she actually followed through on it and, you know,
right. Stayed
the course, finished the school, did all the things. You know, Hannah's the woman that wants to, you know, say she's all these things, but is not putting in the work to do it.
And I think one of the overarching stories of this whole thing is that when Adam and Hannah first intertwined, he might have been a little bit wiser than she just because of age, but they kind of were in very similar places in their lives. Like, he was, you know, he was always home doing, like, putting stuff together or doing some kind of, you know, like, physical art. And she was trying to do whatever she was doing, and, like, both of them really didn't have much to show for it. They just were kind of... So, developmentally, they were pretty much in the same spot. And, like, seeing him with this new girl now, and, like, we know where he is in his life, and we quickly learn where she is in her life, it really kind of speaks to that he's outgrown her.
Yeah.
That she's really... She's not... She now, other than life experience, you know, which, of course, there's something to be said for, she's not much... further in her life than she was from the very first episode.
She, her wheels are just spinning in place, and
right.
and it's this is a good story because it really, I think this happens to a lot of couples and a lot of just people in general, and they don't realize it. And it's actually kind of interesting to watch this show and see it, you know, from this perspective because, if I look back on relationships that I've been in, I've probably been Hannah. And I've probably even have been Adam
right.
before.
And
you know
I think
what I mean?
You probably get to be Adam when you get, oh, I was going to say when you get a little older, but I feel like I've definitely been Adam when I was younger also.
Yeah. I mean, I've probably, you know, been both, and it's just kind of like interesting to see that, you know, just, I don't know. Like, I guess this is another, now bringing it back to the show and not looking at it in such a meta perspective, that Hannah, I'm happy for Adam because we always root for Adam, you know? We don't like Hannah. But
I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but keep going.
Okay, but this is what, really? Because I'm saying this is what Hannah needs to finally, a wake-up call?
Okay.
I don't know.
Because what I was thinking to the episode was, like, I agree, I still mostly agree with Adam, and he's right, and what he's saying is absolutely correct, and I came to the realization this probably means he's not going to be on the show very much anymore.
Oh, no. There's no
and
way.
I got upset.
Like, she has to, when I say she, I mean Lena Dunham, has to realize that he is such a popular character.
I know, but, character-wise, it does feel like he's outgrown her a lot, and he's moved on to better things. And
could the show still not be partially about Adam?
It could absolutely be, yes.
We could still be following
We still
life.
Have a pretty strong cast of characters, many of which we haven't even delved into this season. Let's just backtrack a bit and make sure we cover things. So she ends up feeling even worse because of the video of this Mimi Rose doing the keynote and just kicks Shosh out. It's like, thank you for coming, Shosh. Like, I love she kicks her. Oh my God, you totally just boob hit me. And then the next one to come in is, I think as she's coming in, Jess is coming in as Shosh is leaving, so they're both out there, and he says, I called Marnie first, or something like that. And
like twat.
Yeah, you twat. And then,
twat.
But then she goes in there, and then we find out, as you said, that Jessa was the one that hooked them up.
Yeah.
And introduced them, and she's the one that knew. And I kind of agree with Hannah's mentality in this one. Like, she did kind of break girl code, or, like,
that
you know,
is,
bro code.
Yeah. That's you don't do that.
Like, morally, there could be an issue with it. Like, technically, she did nothing wrong. Like, Hannah did say, I'm out of here. I'm going somewhere else for 2 years, and we're not together anymore, kind of. They get into a little bit of a disagreement. Like, and it seems like Jess is a little bit anti-Adam. Like, not, like, a lot, but, like, kind of is looking at him, like, sideways.
Yeah, but they were just, like, best buds.
I know.
Recently.
But then after Jess is leaving that room, she just seems like she's like, you know, fuck Hannah. Adam's right. Like, that completely switches it over. And then we see that she keeps trying to contact Marnie, and Marnie's not responsive for some reason, so we're not sure what that's about yet. Then Laird and Adam's sister are in the living room. The thing that was funny about this episode is people just kept showing up in the apartment.
Yeah, people were just there. It was just like, it was like the last episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah, like, it just every like time she goes out there, just there's different things happening. For some reason, she pees in the bedroom, but then she goes out of the room anyway.
She pees in a bucket.
Yeah, she pees in a bucket because she doesn't want to leave the room. But once she goes out there, they're out there. By the way, did you notice that there was a continuity error here?
No.
When Laird is rubbing Adam's sister's foot, he like,
oh, yes, I saw that.
Like, it was glaringly, like, they
oh,
missed
yeah,
one.
Like, I remembered exactly. She, the sister says, have some tea or whatever, and it was because Shosh also said it. She's like, why is tea, like, the ultimate, like, why does everyone think that tea is going to make me fucking feel better? And then he puts down her foot because he was, like, putting cream on her foot. He's like, yeah, so what tea can I make you since I have to, you know, stop, you know, creaming the foot of the mother of my unborn child. So he put the foot down, and the foot was now down in his lap. And then when they cut back, the foot's back up on his shoulder.
Right, and he's taking it off again, or he's taking it off himself this time.
Aha.
Yeah, that was just glaring. Like, I was like, wait, that was a glaring continuity error.
I haven't seen shit like that since, like, the 80s. You know, like the Goonies.
Yeah.
There was a lot of those in there.
Do you know, by the way, if you watch the Goonies, at the end of the any sort of release that you could pretty much find these days, the DVD release, the television version, one of the kids says to the parents that we fought a giant octopus or something like that.
Yeah, it was a scene that was cut out of the movie.
Right, but it's in the original movie. Like, so if you saw it in theaters.
Yeah, it's they have it on the special features on all the DVDs.
I know, but like they cut that scene out, but then they refer to it. Like they didn't cut the referral to it out at the end.
Oh, I know all the incontinuities, all the errors, all the things, all the I know the Goonies is my favorite movie of all time. I know all the ins and outs. Yeah. So yeah, that was but it's actually good they cut that out of the what is now the movie going forward, because it's really dumb.
I know, but they should cut out the reference to it at the end too.
Like, do you know what that octopus scene is?
I've seen it on YouTube. It doesn't look great.
When they first get
they
to
kill
the
it with like a
ship,
Walkman somehow, right?
Yeah, when they first get to the pirate ship, they Steph is like, mouth, cut it out. Like they're swimming in the water, and he's like, what do you mean? He's like, cut it out. It's like, I'm not touching you. And it's like the octopus is like touching him, and there's an octopus there. They don't know what to do, and Data's like, oh, I got it. I'm Asian and smart. He puts a fucking little cassette player in the octopus's mouth, and the octopus looks really bad,
right.
Animatronic, real bad, and it like. The music starts playing, it's some cheesy 80s song, and octopus it starts dancing and wiggling its arms and like dances and backs away. And it's really bad. It takes you out of the movie. It looks so ridiculous.
Right. Well, anyway, little movie trivia for everybody out there.
Yeah, a little. Although the scene they cut out from like the bodega scene that they did should have been in the movie. That was great. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Nope.
No.
That's right.
The bully. He's in there fucking with the Goonies, and he grabs Mikey's map. He's like, what is this? He's like, no, don't touch that. And he rolls it up, and he lights it, smokes it, and takes a pull off it. And goes, they just don't make rolling papers like this anymore.
Oh, wow.
That's why the edges of the map are burnt in the rest of the movie.
Oh, wow.
Because he rolls the map up, and he smokes it.
I'm going to watch the uncut Goonies one day.
Yeah, look that scene up. Yeah. Google, YouTube Goonies extra scene, grocery store or something like that.
All right.
And Chunk is looking for ice cream, and he throws him in the ice cream thing. Because Chunk's fat.
That's not nice. But anyway.
Yeah. So.
So where were we now?
So we're getting somewhere. Hannah's really upset. Hey, a Ray's in there now, and he starts to try to talk to Hannah, and he's on her side, but then slowly turns the conversation into his problem with the fucking. The traffic,
right.
And the horns.
And they're venting to each other, and then Hannah burns her hand on the frying pan that bacon's being made on somehow.
Uh-huh.
And then he wraps it up and does some kind of like a weird situation with it. Like he wraps it up in a very strange way, and like the bandages look very sloppy, and then he puts like a big worker glove over it. And then
he duct tapes like a work glove.
Right.
Thing.
And then I think that's like the end of that, pretty much. The same thing with Ray. I know Ray is like, I don't agree with Adam at all. You don't deserve this. Like, Ray is on her side. They make that.
Yeah.
And then was it the next? And then Marnie.
They did talk about Marnie though, and he said that that we were just fuck buddies, and he said something that I kind of relate to.
Yes.
In a way, I mean, I don't want this to be boohoo Denny Lugs, but. I felt for him in a way, because he was just like, I'm not the guy that she ends up with,
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, he's like, I know, and I know that, and I know I'm that, I'm not going to ever be that guy or whatever. And then he said something to the tune of just like, he's like, I know what I am and I know what I look like, but it's kind of like, I never thought, it's like, I know I'm not like this great big thing, but I'm also not like this ugly fucking troll or something like that.
Right.
Like I'm good enough kind of thing. I always kind of feel about myself. Like I know like where I fall in terms of looks and men. I guess.
Looks and men.
Yeah.
So.
I know my role.
Yeah. And then so Marnie shows up, and she kind of, hey, I'm here. And. She says, yeah, I'm here, and I've got food, and that's what lures Hannah out. But then she's like, I gotta take a quick shower. Goes to the bathroom, turns on the shower, and just wants to watch the rest of this video with Mimi Rose on it.
Mimi Rose.
And they have this whole conversation, and Marnie's like, this is one of your less convincing fake showers. And she's like, as she's yelling about how she's in the shower, Marnie just opens the door, and Hannah's just sitting there.
Watching the video.
Yeah. Which, by the way, on the after show talk about the show segment on HBO, she says something like, like how that was like a great addition to the show, that like that she thought that the director who came up with that line in the script was like brilliant, and she said like I don't do that in real life. She says something like, in fact, I had a problem with taking like too few showers at some point in my life or something like that. I was like, TMI. But so Marnie and her have this conversation, and Marnie I like because Marnie has the same conversation that I have with just about everybody when they break up with people.
Marnie was actually like it was good, you know, it was timed right because everyone had this and that to say, and like she was the last one and she was the voice of reason.
Right.
In this.
Well, because Marnie, first of all, Marnie just says like, you know, me and
Desi
have this, like, we go on a cell phone diet once in a while and we do stuff or something like that. And that's why she wasn't answering.
When I don't know.
They're like at a Laker or something. Yeah. But Hannah's saying all these things that so many people I know, and I'm sure people listening to the show have heard people say, where they say things like, you know, I just wanted to see where this was going. And Marnie's like, this is where it went. Like, what do you mean you want to see where it's going? Like, you know, and she's saying, did you think you and Adam were going to, you know, that was it, like you were going to marry Adam? And she's just like, I would like to have seen if that's what would have happened. And, you know, Marnie's like, this is what happened. Like,
this is what happened. Right. This is where we are.
Like, just so many people I know, they break up with people and they say, I really wanted this one to work. And I'm like, oh, really? You didn't want this one to fail? I understand, like, people get emotional and get upset, but, like, some people just say stupid things without even thinking about it. And Marnie just says, listen, like, I know you don't want to hear this and stuff for me to say, but you need to let this guy go. Like, you need to move on.
Yeah.
And then, so that their little segment together ends, and then finally we get Adam comes in the apartment, and he's checking who's there, and then Hannah comes out, and she's like, I'm leaving, I just got to pack a few things, or whatever. And they sit down, and he looks at her wound, and he redresses it, and says that Ray doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And then, as Adam is taking care of her one last time, they have the actual heart-to-heart conversation, which made me not hate Hannah so much.
Tell me about this one. I mean, I know I just watched it, but I'm a little, I don't know. I hate Hannah so much, I have blind rage.
I mean, like, I get, because it wasn't like this, there was no Hannah ridiculousness to this. It was literally her just hearing him out and getting upset, and then just clarifying, I was in love with you or whatever. And then she says, but you don't feel that way now. And he says, no, which grammatically means he does love her, just for the record. If you say to me, like, Matt, you don't want, you know, chitlins for dinner, and I say yes.
Yes, I don't want chitlins
for dinner. Right. If you say no, you double negate. But anyway, so, and you know, and just that.
Don't hate, double negate.
Yeah, so that conversation and that is just very. Like I could get behind either of them on that one and say, like, you know, I get it. Like, I'm sure you've had conversations like that with ex-lovers or jilted lovers, where, or you've even been Hannah in that situation where you just, something has ended and you're kind of finding out, like, the story of how it ended from the other person, whereas, like, you might for some reason didn't know before, and you're just kind of like, all right, so these are the facts. This is over. And, you know, you're upset, and, you know, you kind of want to cry, but you don't want to cry in front of the person.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
I mean, I've straight cried in front of the person.
I don't think I've ever cried in person in front of, maybe my first girlfriend when I was, like, 18 or something like that. And I think I cried because, like, I was kind of doing it as a gimmick to see how she reacted.
As a gimmick.
Yeah, I worked myself up into crying, I think.
What do you think?
How long ago was I, 19 or 18?
Yeah, well, that was like 15 years ago.
Right. And ever since then, I've never allowed myself to get, like, cryy in front of a girl, because, like, you know, damn.
Yeah, it took me a long time to get to the I'm never going to allow myself, period.
It's not that I don't allow myself, it just doesn't happen anymore. Like, I got over that.
I stopped giving a fuck.
Yeah, but
I really just don't give a fuck. It's like, why give a fuck anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can only ever give a fuck again as if something is really, like, there has to be the time invested into something for a while to have the fuck.
I'll cry if I have to put pets to sleep.
Yeah, I did that. Well, I mean, my story is I didn't get a chance to put her to sleep, and that was very dramatic. But, yeah.
But
I don't
think
I cried. I just went back to bed with, like, I felt like I was having a heart attack with an anxiety, and I just tried to go to sleep.
Yeah, like, I just, that's what really hits me. That hits me way harder than, like, girls breaking up with me at this point. It's like, oh, a girl broke up with me. I'm going to McDonald's. But, yeah. But, you know, he just tells her, like, you know, do you think we were happy? Like, and he kind of says to her, like, look, while we were doing it, it felt like it was working, sort of. But now that I've been exposed to something else, I see that it really wasn't. And I didn't mean for it to happen this fast, but this is how it happened. And I know it's weird, but that's how it happened. And I didn't mean for it to go down this way, and I didn't mean for you to get hurt. And, like, what can you say to that, really? Like what in that respect did he do wrong? And she doesn't try to turn it into you're a scumbag, you know, you fucked this all up, you're a bad person. She just kind of cries and kind of goes along with it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's, it was, would you say she's being very un-Hannah here, but just kind of like accepting something for once and not just flipping it, well, fuck you, and it's your fault for everything, and blah, blah, blah.
But maybe,
that's the usual MO.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe that's part of her growing up, is that this part of her story has happened now, like, that she's had a guy that she was very serious with break up with her for some serious reasons, and not just, like, superficial bullshit that we were, you know.
Well, I'm hoping this is the thing, though. I say this every season when, like, the monumental thing happens. I'm like, this is the thing that sets her straight. This is the thing. This is the thing. Let's just hope this is the thing this time. I mean, it's kind of like I fucking hate her, but I'm inherently, like, drawn to root for her because she's the main character of the show. And now looking at it once again in that meta aspect, I'm watching this show, she's the main character, and you inherently want to root for the main character of the show to do well. Because she's been such a piece of fuck, I don't, you know? But it's like, there's always that, you know, maybe this is where this person changes.
Right.
For the better. And I don't know.
And I think part of the story was also that all of her friends don't just go into this agreeing with her. Like, even Shoshana, who's, like, you know, understands how she feels jilted, kind of shows up, and Hannah just becomes, like, I want to see more about this girl, and Shoshana's like, you really shouldn't. And she ends up just kicking Shoshana out without giving her a second thought, and then gets into a disagreement with Jessa, too. And even though she disagrees with Marnie, Marnie's got a little bit more finesse than the two of them.
Uh-huh.
Marnie's a little bit softer, and is just like, look, like,
hot wants what it wants.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that was Jessa that said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking Jessa. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. Marnie is much more delicate, and it's just like, look, like, this is how things happened. You need to get away from him. Like, this is over. Like, you just need to accept that, and I know it sucks, but get on with it.
It's over, Johnny.
Yeah.
What's that from?
That's Rocky.
No, but I can see why you'd say that. Who's named Johnny in the Rocky
movie? I don't know.
John Rambo, same actor.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
From First Blood.
Yeah.
It's over, Johnny.
All right, so I was the right person in the world.
You had the right Guido.
Yeah.
We're allowed to say Guido. We're Guidos. I am all Guido.
Yeah.
Heard any good Jewish jokes lately?
No.
I just figured, you know, like, you're Jewish, so, like, you
if know, I hear one, I'll let you know next show.
Could make a good Jewish joke.
Oh, yeah, that's what happened in the last two episodes of Girls.
That's Girls. Yeah. So I hope people enjoy the episode. I know we're kind of just like, we've been a little blasé about getting these episodes out this season, but, you know.
That's because it's winter
outside,
and it's horrible here in New York. It's colder. It was colder here than it was in Antarctica and Moscow yesterday.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Yeah, I was making the joke, so how many degree is it outside? You know, I wanted to make that a status on Facebook, but I just didn't. I didn't want to be a hypocrite because I slag on people for, you know, how many screen caps of the weather from someone's phone did you see?
Although you saw the one that I posted, right?
No, it was probably something clever.
I posted one from where I grew up, not from where I live.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Saying that because it was -9 degrees where I grew up.
Yeah.
And with the wind chill factor, it was -34.
Jesus.
So I posted that, and I was like, This is why, because I'm notoriously the guy that's not that cold ever.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is why I'm not that cold, everybody. Like, this is where I grew up. This is cold to me.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to be that hypocrite.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't say, because I just really hate, like, I don't understand, like, people use social media wrong. They just don't use it right. You just gotta shut the fuck up, you know? It's kind of like, don't post everything that you're thinking the time.
I post everything I'm thinking.
No, yeah, but, like, you think it, and then you say, you know, like, before I post anything, it's like, oh, this is something that is interesting that maybe people can comment on and we can, you know, or it'll be funny.
Especially my disagreement with the mom of the autistic child today.
Oh, God.
I was at a restaurant eating,
folks.
Tell
this story.
And it was for my cousin's birthday, so there was like a big party of people there, a lot of whom I had no idea who they were. And sitting behind me is a mother and a daughter, and the daughter takes these balloons that were set on the table with like a weight on them to keep them on the table. She takes them off and she's like playing with them and they keep hitting me. They're hitting me in the back of the head. I turned around a few times and I kind of like looked at the mother and it seemed like she was receptive to the idea that like these balloons should not be hitting me in the head. And then it just kept happening. And I finally turned around and I was like, hey, excuse me, could you put those balloons back on the table? Or so, you know, something like that. Like just get, you know, in other words, nicely saying, get these balloons away from me or get these balloons away from the kid or get the kid away from me. And later on, my cousin's girlfriend comes over to me and she whispers in my ear, hey, the little girl was hitting you in the head with the balloons. She's autistic, so just be a little nice about it, okay? And I was like, I asked the mother who was doing diddly dick, yeah, nicely, to please move the balloons that were on the ground hitting me, because the girl was hitting me with them, back to the table. So if she wanted to play with them, they would no longer hit me. And instead of just...
Simple solution.
Yeah. And instead of being a decent parent and doing this yourself without me having to ask, you got up, walked over to this woman and said, oh, who's that guy? Yeah, he asked if I could put these balloons on the table. Could you please tell him that my daughter's autistic and not to do that? It was like, go fuck yourself, you stupid cunt.
Like, in the energy that you got up to create, like, you know, a situation, you could have just moved the fucking balloons.
Yeah.
You could just move the fucking balloons.
Right.
There's, like, it's just that people don't... This little incident is just, like, a microcosm of just, like, people in general. Like, they don't fucking... The consideration for other people never crosses their fucking mind.
Right.
Like, not for a second. It's not, you know, it's... Oh, how dare you because such and such. Like, I don't know that your kid's autistic.
But even...
Your kid could be fucking handicapped and can't fucking see and hear. It doesn't fucking matter. Your kid can still have fun with the balloons where they're not hitting me in the back of the head.
Right.
Like, just think for a second.
And even in the event that they are, like, whether they're autistic or not, like, that didn't fare in my decision at all to speak. Like, even if I knew there's something with the kid, I would have been like, you know, hey. But, like, that's also your job as the parent to, like... be responsible for the child and not just let the kid run willy-nilly in a restaurant hitting people with balloons. Like, I'm not the asshole because I asked you to please not hit me with balloons. Like, and if your kid's autistic and you take them out into a crowded public place, you're more than responsible for what they're doing and need to keep them under control.
Oh, yeah. Well, you said it, bro.
So I posted that story on the Facebook. And,
I saw it.
Everybody liked it.
Yeah.
Nobody disagrees with me. Not one person was like, you're an asshole, Matt.
No, because you're correct.
Right.
And she, and honestly, if I was a waiter there or whoever it was, and it came up to me and said, yeah, he asked to blah, 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 and if I looked over and I saw the balloon hitting in the back of the head, I wouldn't even walk over to you. Because fuck that waiter, too. I'd just be like,
No, it wasn't the waiter. It was my cousin's girlfriend.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it was my cousin's girlfriend that came over to me and told me that, like,
oh, well, fuck her.
Yeah, it wasn't even like it was the staff. Like, this is like she's apparently, I don't know who in the family or how they're linked to my cousin or this woman at all, but like she was basically came over and like was like, yeah, like don't do that. Like don't be nasty to them. Like, she's autistic. And I was like, first of all, I didn't get into a thing with her cuz it's my cousin's birthday and I didn't want to be the guy that makes the scene, but it was like it wasn't like I turned around and I was like, hey, you little shit, put those fucking balloons away. I was like, excuse me, miss, would you mind moving those balloons to the table rather than the floor where they're hitting me in the head over and over again? Thank you. Like, that's it. Like, the fact that you got up and, like, bitched about that, like, you can't, like, you have no right to complain about me complaining when it was a perfectly reasonable complaint.
perfectly reasonable. And again, this goes to people in general in terms of like, what is it? It's kind of like it. Every time, like, if you were to complain or say something or have an opinion about something, and it's like the person involved, there's some kind of like, oh, like, you can't do that because this person is A, Y, or Z, you know, whatever the problem may be, autistic, this and that. And it's just kind of like, oh, you're insensitive to that. It's just like, no, I would make this complaint regardless of whatever is, you know what I mean?
Right.
Regardless of whatever that variable may be, whether the person is blind, deaf, autistic, mental retardation, handicapped in any way, it doesn't matter. You could be perfectly normal people.
If it were Barack Obama masquerading as Batman, I would still turn around and say, please don't hit me in the head with the balloons. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, the Pope. You know what I mean? It's the same. It's almost the same thing if you were to say, if, like, let's say someone was, you're sitting on the subway and, like, a black guy has a stereo next to you on the subway and it's blasting really loud in your ear, which is not far from shit that actually happens in New York City. And if you turned to him and said, hey, you know, can you turn that down? Because in my opinion, people shouldn't have fucking music playing out loud in public transportation.
No,
but
never.
But they do it all the time because people are fucking assholes, right? So if you said that and then that person turned to you and said, oh, why? Are you fucking racist? Because I'm black? If I was white, you wouldn't tell me. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, has nothing to do with your fucking skin color. Actually, that makes you racist because you brought race into it.
Right.
I'm just asking you as a person, can you please not do that? So the fact, you know what I mean? You said, can you please not do that? And they have to bring in, it's the same thing. It's bringing up race, bringing up religion, bring up whenever, when it doesn't apply. It's like, it's just playing a card.
By the way, there was like this little debate that broke out like on one of my friends' Facebooks, where they were talking about how, you know, women get, subjected to like harassment when they play video games online, and like there was some screen grab of some guy that sent a girl a message like why don't we play GTA, you'd be one of the whores and I'll beat you to death or something like that.
And maybe he just hated her.
But then you know, I replied and I said like I said this really like I know like this comes off as like an anti-woman thing, but I'm more than willing to bet like if this were a guy that they played against, they probably would just say something equally as lewd. It just wouldn't come off as like sexist because it would be against a guy. But like they would probably say something like, you know, I'm gonna make you my bitch, I'm gonna fuck your mother, like something like that.
Oh,
and
geez.
Everybody like jumped on me like I was being an asshole. And I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm not agreeing with you, like, that people should behave this way, like, in any sort of arena. I'm just saying that, you know, like, I don't think this person, like a guy that, like, says lewd things to you online isn't necessarily, like, a chauvinist pig. He's probably just a pig. And the example that I went on to use is, like, it's probably the same type of person that walks around the street playing music with their speaker on their phone and singing along to it. Like,
aha,
like that's the caliber of person you're dealing with. Like, and people just, they didn't get it. And they just were like, oh, this isn't about that. I'm sorry. I chimed in. Like, I'm a guy. I'm wrong.
Everybody wants to wave the flag of whatever fucking, cause that they want to fight. They'll take anything, you know, it's the same thing with everything. It's like with the religious fanatics.
I think people,
you know what I mean?
Like to say,
if you
want to
find religion in something, you will.
People love to say, you don't understand.
Ah, you don't understand because of my struggle.
Right.
You know what? I know we're going down like a super rabbit hole here, but let me tell you a funny story, right? It just reminds me of something, the whole you don't understand. So I was doing a ER rotation, right, with basically when I was still in the medic class, we had to like go to ERs and you know, do like IVs and stuff like that to get practice.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a female. She's black female, African American, whatever the fuck you want to call it. So she actually, I know her for a while because she was an EMT at my station, and we were both in the same med class, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we go way back, me and her, and we're talking, and she said something about her struggle, right? And I was just like, yeah, the struggle. I know what you're talking about, right? Just fucking around, you know what I mean? She knows me, you know.
Yeah.
And she got serious and said, what do you mean? What do you mean struggle? What do you know about struggle? What's your struggle? A flood basement in the suburbs? You know what I mean? That's what she said to me, right? And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
I was like, you know what I mean? Well, because I'm a white Italian guy from Staten Island?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I was like, fuck you. You know what I mean? What? Because I didn't fucking grow up in the hood and fucking welfare and I don't know what the fucking struggle is. Everybody has their own goddamn struggle.
Right. No,
way,
like that's
I mean?
that's the they call it reverse racism when it's just racism. It's just that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, my father can't be a junkie and fucking die from fucking AIDS when I'm fucking 5 years old. That's not a struggle for me.
No. Nope.
You know, I can't fucking see. I can't have other family members die when I'm really young in brutal ways, even that I don't even want to get into. That's not a struggle. I can't fucking see, my aunt and uncle fucking, you know, fighting all the time and them fucking addicted to fucking drugs and fucking violence in front of my face as a child. Oh, that's not a struggle. I can't fucking, you know what I mean? Like, I can't have fucking my mom dated all kinds of crazy fucking assholes that I've been in out of my life that I had to fucking deal with. You know what I mean? Like, you everything you can relate, you know, not as tough as other people. Other people have really awful lives, but that's my own fucking struggle. So, like, fuck you, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm not black and from the hood and, you know, grew up in the projects or fucking don't know who my dad is, I don't know what the fucking struggle is.
So,
wow.
I wonder what the lessons we could take away from our two stories are. Like, don't bring autistic kids to restaurants if you're a crappy parent. And,
yeah.
Well,
I mean, you don't have to put
white
it like that.
White people have problems too.
Yeah. What? Yes.
Is that a good note to end on?
It's a great note to end on. Girls!